bestaat in een uur. Zo dadelijk worden we ze met geopend door Susterma. Met het Bijbellezingen in het openingsgebed. Nou, Susterma, Pastor Samueli, met een gesproken woord. En om iedereen nemen wij afscheid van u. Stefania Radio wens iedereen een fijne, gezegende luistertijd toe.
Goedendag, moederkar.
Van harte welkom ook. Vannacht bidden wij u God zegen toe. Gaat u gaan.
Dank u wel, moederkar. Ja, lieve luisteraars. Het is tijd voor het Bijbelleesplan. En u weet, het Bijbelleesplan komt van Gospel Radio Zephania, waar onze Heer Jezus Christus centraal staat. Trouwe God en Heiland, we gaan u danken. Want het is een moment van aanbidding. Vader, we gaan u aanbidden, we gaan u loven en prijzen, Vader Jezus. En we gaan u danken, Vader, voor alles wat u voor ons doet. Vader, we danken u dat wij ook de uitzending aan u mag opdragen. Vader, dank u wel, Vader Jezus, dat u zo groot en machtig bent om te doen boven bidden en boven denken. Vader, we danken u dat u naar ons hebt omgezien, Vader. En we danken u, Vader, voor iedereen, voor alles wat in de wereld gebeurt, dat u het antwoord is op alle vragen. Vader, we komen bij u, mijn Heiland, Jezus Christus. Over de wereld vrede weer, Vader. Over de coronacrisis die omhoog stijgt, Vader. Vader, maar bij u kan niks omhoog stijgen, want u breekt uw belofte niet. U bent een waarmaker van de waarmaker van uw woord, Vader, want dat zegt u, dat wij niet moeten vrezen en dat wij moeten wachten en dat wij niet moeten vrezen. Vader, uw woord is waar. Vader, u bent de waarheid, Vader Jezus. Want er komt nu met de coronavirus opschudding in deze wereld. Vader, maar u kan alles stillen, want u hebt de macht, Vader Jezus. En u doet alles, Vader Jezus. Maar Vader, we bidden ook, Vader Jezus Christus, dat we deze dingen voor u neerleggen, mijn Heiland. En komen we voor uw genade troon, Vader Jezus Christus, om genade te vragen voor de hele wereld. Vader, we dragen alles aan u op, Vader, de ziekenhuizen. Vader, wilt u de medewerkster en die allen in het ziekenhuis, de zieken genezen en de medewerksters en de doktoren, de verpleegster, Vader, beschutten, mijn Heiland. Vader, want u hebt uw bloed vergoten op Golgotha als losprijs, Vader. En u hebt geroepen, het is volbracht, Vader Jezus. En daar danken wij u voor, want het is volbracht, Vader. Vader, maar dit zijn de wegen, Vader, dat wij u altijd moeten gehoorzamen, bidden, Vader Jezus Christus, tot u. Roepen tot u in onze benauwdheden, Vader. En u zal ons eruit helpen. Vader, u gaat iedereen eruit helpen, Vader. Want Vader Jezus, het komt meer en meer in de hoogte, maar we brengen het voor uw troon, Vader Jezus. En u weet wat u gaat doen en u weet wanneer u gaat antwoord op deze dingen van de coronavirus. Vader Jezus, dank u wel. Want als Vader deze dingen niet gebeurt, dan staan er geen plagen in uw woord, Vader. Maar we brengen welke plaag dan ook voor u, Vader Jezus. Want Vader, u bent zo machtig dat u de hemel zelf kan vouwen en de sterren kan tellen. En daarom verhogen wij uw naam, Vader. Dat u de wonderbare raadsman bent. De sterke God. De vredevorst. De leeuw van Juda. Koning der koningen. De God boven alles. Onze voorziener. Emmanuel. God met ons. Verlosser. Heelmeester. Vader. Zoveel namen hebt u, zoveel mooie namen, Vader. En dat kan die coronavirus niet tegen, Vader. Daarom roeit u ze straks uit, Vader. Vader, uw naam is hoger dan enig ander, Vader. Er zijn niemand dan u alleen. Er is geen God buiten u en ook zal er geen zijn, Vader. Daarom publiceren wij uw naam, Vader, koning der koningen, heerser van hemel en aarde. Vader, bij u leggen we alles neer, mijn Heiland. Zo leg ik ook alle mensen die in de wereld zijn, alle doktoren wereldwijd en zijt voor u, genade troon, Vader. Geef ze mij wijsheid, Vader Jezus. We danken u ook voor alle gospelsprogramma, ook die geen gospels zijn, Vader. Dat moeten wij ook voorbidden, Vader. Vader, we danken u dat wij ook bij de zieken thuis, Vader, wij allen die thuis zijn, alleen, Vader, wilt u ons, u staat ons bij, Vader, maar we brengen onszelf voor uw genade troon, Vader. Want u bent met ons al de dagen van ons leven, dat weten wij, en u breekt uw belofte nooit. Ik dank u, Vader, voor broeder Cor en zuster Marlene. Ik dank u voor alle leidinggevende van het evangelie. Ik dank u voor alle bestanden die gehouden worden. Ik dank u voor alle gemeentes, Vader. Ik dank u voor alle gemeenteleden. Vader, we danken u waar de gemeentes ook zijn. Waar de voorgangers ook zijn, Vader. Wereldwijd, mijn Heiland. En de huizen, Vader Jezus, dekken wij allen onder uw kostbaar en dierbaar bloed, Vader. We danken u, Vader Jezus. Voor alles wat wij zullen vragen, Vader, dat u het gaat doen. Vader, wij hebben u lief. Wij komen bij u met alle noden en alle problemen, maar u lost alles op. Want, Vader, hoe de problemen groot zijn, hoe die dingen groot zijn, Vader, u bent groter dan alles. Zelfs bent u groter dan uw genadegave, Vader. U bent hoger en hoger dan enig ander. Vader, wij danken u dat wij u mogen aanbidden. U mogen loven. U mogen prijzen, Vader. Dat er geen andere God is die wij gaan prijzen. Maar wij prijzen u, Vader Jezus. We danken u wel, Vader. En dat we onze wapenrusting gaan dragen en we hebben onze wapenrusting, vader. Want u weet, vader Jezus, dat al deze dingen zouden gebeuren. Maar we danken u, vader. We danken u voor liefde. We danken u voor vrijheid. We danken u voor om naar anderen te kijken en naar anderen om te zien, vader. En daarom bidden wij, vader, de geest van liefde. De geest van verdraagzaamheid. En de geest van bidden. Maar inmiddels, vader Jezus, de geest van de Bijbel. En dan danken wij u om in Jezus' wonderbare naam. Vader, dank u wel voor uw woord. Ga voor in uw woord. U weet de bedoeling, vader. We danken u, vader Jezus, dat wij gaan lezen over 1 Koningen, hoofdstuk 16. Gaat over... Toen kwam het woord des Heren tot Jehu, de zoon van Kanani, teken Baza. Omdat ik u verhoogd heb uit het stof en u tot een vorst gesteld over mijn volk Israël, maar gij gewandeld hebt in de weg van Jerobeam. En mijn volk Israël heb doen zondigen om mij met hun zonden te krenken. Zie, daarom ga ik Baza en zijn huis wegvegen en uw huis gelijk maken aan het huis van Jerobeam, de zoon van Nebat. Wie was Baza in de stad sterf? Wie van Baza in de stad sterf, die zullen de honden verslinden. En wie van hem op het veld sterf, die zal het gevogelte des hemels verslinden. Het overige van de geschiedenis van Baza en wat hij gedaan heeft en een dappere daden is dit niet beschreven in het boek van de kronieken der koningen van Israël. En Baza ging bij zijn vaderen te rusten en werd begraven in Tirsa, zijn zoon. Elia werd koning in zijn plaats. Ook is door de dienst van de profeet Jehu de zonen van Kanani, het woord des Heren tot Baza en tot zijn huis gekomen. Zowel wegens al het kwaad dat hij gedaan heeft in de ogen des Heren, door hem te krenken met het werk zijner handen, zodat hij gelijk werd door het huis van Jerobeam, ook omdat hij hem verslagen heeft. En dan gaan we naar moeilijk. En dan gaan we naar vers 9. Ja. De koning van Israël, Ela, de koning van Israël. In het 26e jaar van Asa, de koning van Juda, werd Ela, de zoon van Baza, koning over Israël. Tirsa, 2 jaar, zijn dienaar Zimri, de bevelhebber over de helft der krijgswagens, smeedde een samenzwering tegen hem. Terwijl hij te Tirsa zich een roes dronk ten huize van Asa, die hofmaarschalk was in de Tirsa, kwamen Zimri en sloeg hem dood. In het 27e jaar van Asa, de koning van Juda, en werd koning in zijn plaats. Toen hij koning geworden was, sloeg hij, zodra hij op de troon zat, het gehele huis van Bassa dood zonder er iemand van het mannelijk geslacht van over te laten. Benevens zijn naaste verwanten en zijn vrienden, zo heeft Zimri het gehele huis van Bassa uitgebreid naar het woord des Heren. Dat hij over Bassa gesproken had door de dienst van de profeet Jehu, wegens al de zonden die Bassa en zijn zoon Ela bedreven hadden en die hij Israël hadden doen bedrijven, zodat zij de Heere, de God Israëls, krenkten met hun ijdelheden. En het overige van de geschiedenis van Ela en alles wat hij gedaan heeft, is dat niet beschreven in het boek van de kronieken der koningen van Israël. En Zimri de koning, in het 27ste jaar van Asa de koning van Juda, werd Zimri koning de Tirsa. 7 dagen terwijl het volk gelegerd was tegen Gibeon, dat aan de Filistijnen behoorde. Toen het volk dat daar gelegerd was, hoorde zeggen: Zimri heeft een samenzwering gesmeed en ook de koning doodgeslagen, maakte geheel Israël Omri, de legeroverste van Israël, te dien dagen in de legerplaats koning. En vervolgens trok Omri en geheel Israël met hem van Gibeon weg en hij belegerde de Tirsa. Zodra Zimri zag dat de stad ingenomen was, ging hij in de burcht van het koninklijk paleis en verbrandde het koninklijk paleis boven zich met vuur en stierf aldus om de zonden die hij bedreven had door te doen wat kwaad is in de ogen des Heren en te wandelen in de weg van Jerobeam en in de zonde die deze bedreven had om Israël te doen zondigen. En het overige van de geschiedenis van Zimri en de samenzwering die hij gesmeekt heeft, is dat niet beschreven in het boek van de kronieken der koningen. En Omri werd koning van Israël. Toen splitste zich het volk Israël in 2 helften. De ene helft van het volk de Timni, de zoon van Kinan, om hem koning te maken. En de andere helft volgde Omri. Doch het volk dat Omri volgde, kreeg de overhand op het volk dat Timni, de zoon van Kinan, volgde. Toen Timni gestorven was, werd Omri koning. In het 31ste jaar van Asa, in het 31ste jaar van Asa, en toen deze Tisbit in het zijn dagen herbouwde de Beteliet Giel Jericho en ten koste van zijn Abiram, zijn eerste geborene, grondvestte hij het, en ten koste van Zekub, zijn jongste, plaatste hij naar de poortdeuren naar het woord des Heren dat hij gesproken had door de dienst van Joshua, de zoon van Nun. Wacht er. Broeder, ik dank u dat u hebt meegelezen, lieve luisteraars. En zo de Heere wil, tot een andere keer. In Jezus' naam. Amen.
Amen, zuster. Maar dank u wel. En nog een goede nacht voor straks.
Leuk hoor, even achter de
ja, scherm. Ja, moment, momentje.
Evangelism. Our goal is to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to educate man with the universal principles of God and to co-partner with Christ in liberating man from all forms of evil and injustice. For more information on Dr. Samuel Lee's ministry, please visit www.slwe.net.
Right. Today is the day of Pentecost. But I don't see a smile on your faces. Hey, put some smile on your face. Today is the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ. How many Pentecostals are here in this building today? Come on. How many Pentecostals are here in this building today? No, I don't see you are Pentecostal. I said, how many Pentecostals are in this building today? You are half Pentecostal, I said, how many Pentecostals are in this building today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters, today I want to preach to you about the power of Pentecost. What can Pentecost do? What can the experience of Pentecost do in our lives? And the reason why I ask you, how many Pentecostals are in this building today is just for one reason. Unfortunately, there are many, many people in our world today. They call themselves Pentecostals, but they have totally no understanding of what Pentecost really means. That is a problem today in our world. Did you know that Pentecostalism is the fastest growing church movement in the world today? Some people say that after 30 years, there will be more Pentecostals in the world than the Catholics. So that means something is happening. Something is moving on. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people who don't really know what Pentecost means. They think that because they go to a Pentecostal church, automatically they are Pentecostals. Or they think because they pray in tongues, they are Pentecostals. But Pentecost is more than that. When we understand what Pentecost is, the day that Holy Spirit for the first time was poured out upon his church, and the church was born. That day, my brothers and sisters, we celebrate as the day of Pentecost. In fact, to us, the day of Pentecost should be celebrated like Christmas, because Pentecost is very important for us, because our foundation, the starting of church, not as a building, but as an organism, the body of Christ started in the day of Pentecost. So today, I want to preach to you about Pentecost. What can Pentecost do? What is the power of Pentecost? Even some people today, they are having holidays, or Monday, they are having holidays because of the day of Pentecost. But if you ask people in the street, what does really Pentecost mean? They don't know. They just think that they are free. Thank God. They don't work. But what is really Pentecost? For that reason, I want you to open your Bibles with me and go to the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is the book of Pentecost. The book of Acts is the book of Pentecost. So go with me to the book of Acts. And I know a lot of preachers have been preaching this message, but today I want to give you another angle on this message, that our eyes will be open when we read about this message next time. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, and we will be reading from verse 1. The book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, verse 5. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. From every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard them speaking his own language. They were amazed, utterly amazed. They asked, "Are not these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is that possible that each one of us hear them in our own language?" And then they name all the languages, Parthians, Medes, and on and on and on. Then we go to verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have too much wine. They are drunk." Verse 14. Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. That's something Pentecostal, raise your voice. He said, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both man and woman, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire, and below of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day." And everybody said amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is the day of Pentecost. This is when the church was born. As I preach this before to you, brothers and sisters, church is not a building. Church is people. And when people come together in his name, there is church. And the disciples came together, and the Spirit of God was poured out upon the disciples. And they begin to pray what? In tongues. But everybody else was amazed. How is that possible? That that they are praying in our own language. But listen, this is it. Peter stood up and loudly he began to preach. He said, hey, brothers and sisters, these people are not drunk. Don't think that these people have boozed some gin or whiskey or vodka. No, they are not drunk. They are filled with Holy Spirit and they are praying in a language you don't understand. Then he said, this prophecy has come to pass. In the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. This is the power of Pentecost. In the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Listen, everybody heard them praying in their own language. Do you know what the power of Pentecost is? When the Pentecost comes upon you, my brothers and sisters, there will be no racism or discrimination. Come on, you missed my message today. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, there is no more black or white. There is no more tribes, Igbo or Asante. There is no more discrimination in the body of Christ. You know why? Because we are the people of Pentecost. And the people of Pentecost do not look at language or nationality or the color of the skin or the tribe of a nation. Come on, my brother. I feel like preaching today. You cannot be a Pentecostal and be a racist. You cannot be a Pentecostal. You say, preacher, I'm not a racist. Let me tell you, you may be a racist. You say, how is that possible? If you discriminate your own tribes in your own country, I have no words to say than you are a racist. But a Pentecostal, a person who is filled with the body, with the Spirit of God, will never be a racist. No more color, but one in Christ Jesus. No more tribes, but one in Christ Jesus. So if somebody says, I am Pentecostal, but I don't want my daughter to marry that woman, that man from that tribe, I wonder whether that person is Pentecostal. Come on. I feel like preaching there now. You see, we think that Pentecostalism is only coming together and shouting Shandalai, Shandalai, and feeling some goosebumps and feeling happy. But that is not Pentecostalism, my friend. That's not Pentecostalism only, my friend. Pentecostalism was something more than that. That in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, upon Igbo flesh, upon Yoruba flesh, upon Asante flesh, upon Ga flesh, upon Filipino flesh, upon Surinamian flesh, upon Dutch flesh, upon Iranian flesh, upon French flesh, upon Italian flesh. The whole world will receive the power. No more a color of a skin shall be a matter for every person. We have to open our eyes. If a person discriminates and says, I am a Pentecostal, that person is not a Pentecostal. Because Pentecostalism is multicultural, is multinational, is international. The whole world witnessed the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, people of God. Oh, hallelujah. That is Pentecost. But today, in even Pentecostal churches, there are hidden racism, hidden discriminations. They may smile at each other and say, praise the Lord. But inside they will say, I don't like this person. I don't like this nationality. I don't know, my friend. That is not Pentecost. If you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, brother, God will enable you to love every color, to love every nation, to love every people, even when you didn't like them before. That is the power of the Holy Spirit, my friend. Oh, come on. Come on, my friend. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, upon all people, upon all people. I will pour out my Spirit upon all people, whether you are poor or rich. You see, sometimes people don't want to go to church as a building. You know why? Because of their dress. Somebody told me, preacher, I don't want to go to church. Not this church. Another church. I said, why? He said, because the ushers will look at me, how I am dressed. If I am dressed poorly, they won't let me in. And we call these churches Pentecostal. My friend, I wonder if they are Pentecostal. Because the power of Pentecost is not in the dress that you are wearing. The power of Pentecost is in the power of the Holy Spirit that is upon you. The power of Pentecost is not about who is paying more tithe so that they can sit in the front, and who is not paying more tithe, they can sit in the back. Who cares about them anyway? That is not Pentecostalism. When the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, it means poor flesh, it means rich flesh, it means millionaire, it means a beggar in the street. For God, we are all his children. There is no difference for the eyes of God. We are all naked. He sees us naked. He doesn't look at our Gucci dress. He doesn't look at our Armani suit. He doesn't look at our hairstyle. What he looks at us is inside of us, my friend. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm not joking with you. I heard this testimony myself. There are churches that people, if they are not well dressed, can't enter. And the poor man said, I only have 2 suits. Is that not the responsibility of fellow brothers and sisters, that if a brother does not have a suit, the other one will buy for him? But we call ourselves Pentecostals. What Pentecostals? If that is Pentecostalism, I don't belong to that, my friend. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Racism, discrimination is in the church. Is in the body of Christ. Now don't get mad at me now, because I'm a preacher and I like to open my mouth sometimes. I preached this before. I want to preach it again. You see, the geographical map of JCF, Nigeria, Ghana, Philippines. Nigeria, Ghana, Philippines. Me and Mama and others are miscellaneous. You see, my friend, change begins with us. How many of us eat each other's food? How many of us are sharing with one another what we eat? Or are we getting spiritual? I don't know who cooked this food. I don't know who is that. Maybe the spirit. My friend, get rid of all those things. Get rid of. No, maybe that person has a witchcraft power, juju power. I don't know. My friend, is your brother in the church? What juju power? And you may come and say, Pastor, you may not know the African system or whatever system. I know African system more better than you. I can dance even better than you. I can speak. I can eat adobo, Philippine food far better than you. So I know every one of us, my friend. You see, interact with each other. Christianity is when we fellowship with each other. Christianity is when we break bread with each other. Christianity is when we drink together. Even if it is wine, I'll drink with you. Hey, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. For God, it doesn't matter where you come from. Well, I'm from the high class family. It's very good. God bless you. But for God, high class, low class, it doesn't matter. Middle class, first class, business class, my friend. Open your eyes. If you are a Pentecostal, my friend, there is no classes. And that is what Pentecost movement did 100 years ago when it started. It broke segregation. It broke the differences between colors. You see, my friend, don't get that mad at me now, eh? We are always blaming. No, don't. Hey, shall I open my mouth today? Mama, can I open my mouth today? We are always blaming. the white man did this to me, the white man. Let me tell you something. I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about even my own people. Anybody who is not white, European. Me, I'm also not European. You see what is our problem? We fight among each other. If somebody want to grow and he's from my own city, I will try to malambulate something underneath his feet that he will collapse. And when he collapses, I say, oh, you see, it's not easy, huh? Our problem, my friend, is not the white man. Our problem is not America. Our problem is us. We are the problem. As long as we have racism against each other, as long as we discriminate each other, as long as we don't want our daughters to marry from this tribe, our sons to come from that tribe, we are in a trouble, my brother. We are the people of the Spirit of God. And in God's Spirit, there is no color. Maybe you don't like it, but I got to preach it, man. Hey, listen what Pentecost does. First thing Pentecost does, he fills you with joy. People think you are drunk. Second thing what Pentecost does, get rid of racism, discrimination, my friend. That is what Pentecost does. Then he said, your sons and daughters will prophesy. You know, my friend, we are living in prophetic generation. We are the prophetic generation. Now, when I'm talking about prophecy, I don't mean that the preacher will come and look at you and say, it's true, sister. This morning, I know you eat fufu. The Holy Spirit showed me. I know yesterday you had a fight with your husband. I know. The Holy Spirit showed me. That is not prophet, my friend. Well, I'm talking about prophets. You know who are prophets? Young man and woman. People like you and me. We stand up and we say what the truth is. And we are not afraid of truth. We stand up and shout out loud. And speak about righteousness, justice. We deal with the things. These are prophetic voices. Not, oh, I know tomorrow this will happen. No. That one, everybody can do that. I'm telling you. You don't believe me, everybody can do that? Go open television. All of these people who tell the future for you, they can. You pay your money, they will give everything what your itching ear like to hear. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about that we become prophetic voice. We become prophetic voice in our community. We become prophetic voice in our society. We become prophetic voice for our country. We, my friend, don't say, who am I? Peter also said, who am I? But God used Peter. Then God can use you too. If God can use a fisherman, God can use you too, my friend. If God can use a fisherman 2,000 years ago, he can use you at the year 2010 or 11 or whatever you want. Become a prophetic voice. What do I mean by prophetic voice? When you are somewhere and you see there is racism, discrimination, when there is hidden prejudice, open your mouth and say the truth, brother. That's prophetic voice. When you see somebody is abusing somebody, open your mouth and say in your prophetic voice that this is injustice. You said, Pastor, who am I? You and I, we are God's children. That's prophecy, my friend. Not that somebody will come and say, Shandala, Shandala, I feel like prophesying to you. If you give me 500 euro, I'll prophesy to you. And when he get the 500 euro, he prophesy it's true. You're going to get rich. Of course, that is what you like to hear. And you give you 500 euro, 10 years from now, you are seeing nothing. You know why? Because you put your hope in man and not in God. I feel like preaching, man. That's not prophecy. You know who was prophet? Martin Luther King was a prophet. He was a prophet. He dared to open his mouth when nobody could open. You say, Pastor, I'm not a Martin Luther King. Maybe you are, but you don't know it. Maybe you are Martina Luther King. Be a voice. Be a voice. Be a prophetic voice. We need prophetic voices in our society, in our culture today. What do I mean by prophetic voice? You walk in the street, you see somebody is abusing somebody. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Even if it may cost you something. Hey, that's prophecy, my friend. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. That's the power of Pentecost. Yes, listen, your young man will see visions. You see, when you are a Pentecost, when you believe in the power of Pentecost, let me say it like that, you become a man and a woman of vision. Do you know what we lack today? Lack of vision. And the Bible says, without vision, people perish. You see, what does it mean, vision? When I talk to you and say, it is possible to change Africa. It is possible to change Asia. It is possible to change our communities. You come and say to me, yeah, it's not true. You know, it's terrible. That's lack of vision. Do you know that when we are the people of the Holy Spirit, He will give us vision. He will give us that power of life within us to hope, to dream, to have visions, my brothers and sisters. Even when everything is falling away, even when every news is negative and bad in the CNN or whatever you want to call it. But the people of Pentecost are the people of vision. And you know people of vision? People will ridicule them. People will laugh at them. I know the testimony of an Ethiopian man from America. He was sitting in America doing nothing. Ethiopian. He said, let me go back to my country. He said, how is my village today? He went to his village. He saw there is no more green. The land is eroded. They have cut the trees, destroyed the nation. He cried. He said, while these years I was sitting in USA doing nothing, these people destroyed my village. And you know, he went to the governor and said, governor, I just want a piece of land, please. I just want a piece of land. And the governor said, okay, what do you want to do? He said, I have some seeds. I want to plant them. He said to his friends, friends said, ah, useless. You, what do you want with these seeds to do? Huh? Do you think that you can change Africa? Do you think that you can change Ethiopia? You are out of your mind. He said, I don't want to change the whole Africa. I just want to change my street. And this man planted seed, Papa. Planted seed. And then he gathered all the boys in the village. He teach them how to plant seed. My friend, without you know, he had already planted 1,000 trees. 1,000 trees. Trees begin to grow, and the people saw that one man has a vision. He has a vision to change his village. And you know what happened? Others come, they cooperated, then they planted seed. Today, they have 15 million trees. The elephants came back. The birds came back. The animals came back. Why? Because one man had a vision. You are no different than that man. That man doesn't have four legs and four hands or a special something. No, we are all the same. We can make a difference. We can change our society. We can change our homes. We can change our families. Come on, my friend. Young man and woman, we lack vision today. You ask the young man and woman, what's your vision? I'm sorry, can I open my mouth today? Can I open my mouth? I'll open, huh? I'll open wide and preach. You see, when you ask our children, our kids, even from our own church, kids that are grown up in this society, but the color of skin, background, family, nationality is not Dutch. I'm one of them. You ask them, what do you want to be? I made a research in this church. 80% of our children say, I want to be a footballer. or I want to be a sportsman. Who said that we are only good to be a footballer? Parents, begin to change the mind of your children, not only to do sportive things, but change their mind that it is possible for them to become a doctor, to become a pilot, to become an executive director. Why always I'm a footballer? Why always I'm a basketball player? Why always I'm a tennisser? Open your eyes, my friend. Open your eyes, young man and woman. Begin to dream dreams. It is possible. It is possible. Don't try to hide yourself in the sports, because study is only for white people. No, my friend. I feel like preaching today. Pentecost means vision. I have a vision in my life. Making a university, and I'm making it. You don't know I'm making it. You see, my friend, without vision, we perish. And children, parents, you give to your children what you are. If I want to know who you are, I look at your children. If your children are decent, natures, they talk polite, then I know that is what you teach them. But if I see your child, I'm talking to child, what do you want, man? Then I know. Because if my child do that, I'm going to train him. You see, my friend, you can give to your children what you have. Listen to me. Parents, get your visions back. Parents, get your dreams back. Because when you have your visions back, when you have your dreams back, you can give it to your children. Oh, come on. Pentecost is about vision. Vision and dream. He said your young man will see visions. What our young man is see today is televisions, not visions. How is 50 cents doing? Let me dress like 50 cents. My friend, when you are the people of Pentecost, your life changes. You begin to see visions. You begin to see vision that your city, your village, your hometown is changed. You begin to dream dreams. That's what the Bible says. The people of Pentecost are the people of vision. He said, your old man will dream dreams. Old man will dream dreams. If Abraham could dream at the age of 100 something that he is going to have a baby with this old woman, Sarah, how much more is it possible for you and me to have dreams? Don't come and tell me today, Pastor, you know, I am getting old these days. Eh? My age is approaching 65. And you know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I just heard in the news, I don't know, in Korea or something, the woman of 85 years old got her driving license. That's, oh, come on, my friend. Come on, my friend. Don't come and blame me with age. It's true. If you come and say, I lost my faith because I am 65, 80 years old, something, I cannot become Olympic game winner, then I understand you, because your body system. But listen to me, nobody can take away your dreams from you. Nobody. If you are a man and a woman of Pentecost, if you say I'm a Pentecostal pastor, then I want to tell you something, brother. Dream your dreams. They can, listen. They can steal your dress from you. You become naked just like when you are born from your mama. They can torture you. They can destroy you. But no one can steal your dreams from you. No one. You can be even in prison. And you believe you will fly. Because flying has not only to do with your wings. Flying has to do with your mind. today. I feel it. Your young man will see visions. Your old man will dream dreams. It's never too late. Some of you say, Pastor, you know my age. I am 60 years old. By the way, that's not old. I am 60 years old. It's very difficult for me to learn language. This Dutch language is very difficult for me. No, these are alibis. My own father, when he was about 55 years old, 60 years old, he went and sit with children in elementary school and learned Dutch language. It's never too late, my friend. It's your attitude and my attitude that determines our life. It's not the devil, it's the devil who did it. My friend, please, I beg you, not the devil. Every time the devil did it. The devil didn't do it. You did it. Your young man will see visions. Your old man will dream dreams. Hey, I'm coming. Until now, I just preach introduction. I'm coming to my main message. Even my servant, both man and woman, I will pour out my spirit. Two things. He said, even my servant. You know what does even means? Even means you servants don't think you are higher than anybody. You are just like everybody. Don't come and say, I'm apostle, bishop, reverend, evangelist, bookshop. Your title will not shake God. Title is you yourself give it to yourself. Everybody can give any title to himself. You understand? He said, even means, hey, pastors, leaders, Samuel Lee, don't be so proud. Even you, I will bless. Don't worry. Listen. He said, even on my servants, both men and women. If you are a Pentecostal and you have gender problem, please don't call yourself Pentecostal. Did you hear what I said? In the church, woman should not talk. In the church, woman should not do this. In the church, no, my friend, no history. It's not that in the church, no. In the church, woman should not talk. Apostle Paul is talking to that church that their women were drunk and shouting and everything. That Apostle Paul said, don't talk. But the Bible says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon my servant. That means pastors, leaders, women and man. Today, we have a problem.